one initial thought, the readings today, all it is kind of reminding us that one of the elements of Advent is realizing how much our Lord's coming was the fulfillment of so many promises and so much expectation. Through centuries and centuries, since Genesis, since Abraham, since Exodus and Moses, and even all the prophets and David, there was the expectation and signs that were supposed to happen before the salvation of God was given to his people. And one of them was that after Elijah moved on, anybody remember how Elijah moved on? It's got a lot in common with Muhammad. Some people think that somebody took one story from the other. But where did he go? How did he die? He didn't really die. He was taken up supposedly in a fiery chariot. Kind of interesting. But it's there, and they said he was going to come back, like we just read so beautifully. Who read the first reading? Very good. Thank you. You read it awesome. Just the way you said, like, it is said that he will return. So there's this expectation that Elijah is supposed to come back. And Jesus is saying he did, and they missed it. He was John the Baptist. And they do have a lot in common. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I was struck, though. This is a beautiful nativity scene. Very, 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 very nice. I was just kind of focused on this guy. Have you all seen this guy? This poor guy. He's missing a lot. He's broken. Surgery. Like, ouch! He's broken. Like, I don't even know if there's going to be any repairing of that because the damage is so tremendous. He's like hollow. There's nothing on the inside. It's like he's there, but there's really nothing there. He's not really there. And just food for thought, like I think a lot of times, especially in our first world secular culture, Christmas is coming, our Lord is coming, and we're like, we're there, but we're not really there. My mind is in Fortnite, my time is in the mall shopping, and everything else, and I'm stressed out about homework and exams, and Advent is passing, and I'm getting ready for Christmas, but I'm not really there. My heart is kind of not, my heart is somewhere else, and here's my body, Lord, I'm here at church, but my heart is somewhere else. That's why kudos to you all on a retreat on a Saturday. Huge. Did you get paid to be here? You had to pay to be here. Oh my gosh. Man, that's even better. So very impressive and very beautiful, your love for our Lord to want to spend some time with him and want to see where he's leading each one of us. And in some way, he's leading us to himself. He's leading us to Bethlehem to be with him, to spend time with him away from the crowds. One of the things I love about John the Baptist and Bethlehem, as I was asking earlier, like, it's where do you find John the Baptist? Where do you go to find him? A voice crying out, where? In the desert, in the wilderness. He's not in the big city. He's not in the mall. He's not in the rich, you know, affluent, super distracted area. Same as our Lord in Bethlehem. He's in a nativity. He's next to the manure pile. He's in the desert. John the Baptist is in the desert. Jesus is next to the manure pile. That's where you find God, or that's rather where God can find me and where I can even find myself sometimes, is stripped of lots of other things. Stripped of a lot of the first world comforts and dissipation and anxieties, just to be alone and quiet. The sacred writers, the saints who've gone before us, they talk about their journey closer and closer to God, or their conversion. St. Augustine, you know, is moving away from that young man who prayed, Lord, grant me chastity, but not yet. Towards that great saint who just gave his life for the cause of Christ. And they all share with us, all the saints who've gone through that process, they can kind of categorize it into three phases, not one phase, three phases. And there's always that end game, that often moment, that beautiful moment of like that unitive, mystical, like, oh my gosh, I'm touching God and the Holy Spirit's flowing through me in this beautiful unitive stage, they would call it. Like, I feel the Holy Spirit burning in my heart. I fall over, just moved by his love for me. That's great. I'm not there yet. There's also the illuminative phase where the light and this understanding and this looking at myself and saying, oh my gosh, Lord, you've done such great things for me. I want to change and I see things better now. But before they get to that, the saints talk about this other phase, the purgative stage. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? It's not very nice, actually. Anybody a Star Wars fan, closet or otherwise, Star Wars fan? Where does Luke Skywalker first encounter Yoda? Yes, which had a name. It was called the Dagobah system. But yes, it was. That's exactly right. It's this swamp. It's this miserable, clouded over like our weather today, cold and muggy and miserable. And Luke is like discouraged and he's angry and he can't manage to think the way Yoda's trying to train him to think. It's a training ground, it's harsh, it's testing, and he fails. That's the purgative stage. And we all have to go through it. I was reading yesterday, I think of St. John of the Cross, says you can't get to the glories of Jesus and that awesomeness and pleasure and delight of the heart until first you go through the thicket and thorns of the cross, the purgative stage. And really, any superhero, any movie we've had, there's always that moment of training or change or conversion. And it's some sort of painful purgation, discipline. You find John the Baptist in the wilderness, the wild. First of all, it's not the city, it's just in the middle of nowhere, like y'all said, kind of swampy, miserable. Nobody wants to go there, but that's where God's going to find you if you want to go there. You have to go there to be found. You're not going to find God easily in the mall. Too distracting, too much noise. You find him in the dry, quiet desert, alone. It's also the wilderness because it's wild, it's untamed, wild animals. And our passions, our hearts, our desires, they're untamed, they're wild. They need to be what? Disciplined. If you play any sports, you understand, like, you're no good if you don't discipline yourself. It's the exact same way in the spiritual life. So for the body, so for the soul. You have to discipline those things. It's not fun. It means not getting what I want when I want it because I want it. Not just because life takes it from me, but because I choose not to get what I want when I want because I want it. I choose to distance myself and discipline myself. Discipline my desires of my heart. Discipline the way I think. Luke Skywalker had to totally change his way of thinking. I'm sure Yoda said something really funny that I can't think of, but just like you're thinking so small, so contrary to the ways, in our case, the ways of God. And we have to be unbrainwashed to be retuned into God's ways. The wilderness, the discipline of the wilderness, the purgative stage. Quick question, when does marriage prep begin? When do you begin preparing for marriage? It's not at the ceremony. Hopefully you've already prepared before the ceremony. It's not even 6 months before marriage, which is what the church kind of requires as like at least 6 months. It's actually right now, or actually hopefully before now. You are already building the virtues that you're going to need to give yourself to somebody else in love. If you didn't develop the virtue of friendship, loyalty, self-sacrifice, it's not going to work. You can say the words all you want. You haven't prepared yourself. You haven't made yourself, forged yourself to be able to do that. This is the purgative stage. This is the discipline stage. So marriage prep starts now. When does heaven prep start now? Heaven prep starts now. And if you don't do it, you get to heaven and you're like, this is miserable, uncomfortable. I can't do this. I give up. I don't want to be here. And that's what the other option is. You don't want to think about it, but it's real. Our Lord has given us this purgative opportunities, these purgative opportunities, and John the Baptist in Advent especially is calling us, you are broken, but it's time to forge yourself again. You are hollow, it's time to be filled with something real. Amidst a superficial first world culture out there that's just leaving us empty on the inside. All that to say, John the Baptist really challenges us to engage in the purgative parts of Advent, the purgative stages of life, to forge myself as I truly am called to be, so that I'm ready when our Lord wants to come and thrill me and fill me and heal me. I have to go through the purgative stage first. And it's an ongoing kind of overlapping with the other phases. Growth period, discipline period, training period. Raise your hand if on this retreat it was always easy to be quiet and pray. No, right? It's hard. It's like using the Force for the first time. It's like, I can't lift the X-Wing fighter. It's too big. I give up. It's like, no, it's harsh, but it's worth it. You got to sit down and mentally train your mind not to go all over the place, which is what it normally does when you first try to pray. It takes time, but it's worth it, because when you get past the purgative stage, the rest makes Fortnite seem like the most boring thing in the world. Man, what a pitiful example. Okay, we lift up our hearts to our Lord. We enter into the next phase of our Mass, which is the Liturgy of the Eucharist. We really do want to offer, though, right now, offer to our Lord, who's the gardener, and you are the garden. Offer him everything, including your weeds. Who likes weeding? Anybody like weeding? You're crazy.
I really love it.
Oh my gosh, there's something wrong with those people. Anyway, I might enjoy digging a hole, but weeding is like the most, ugh. Okay, these ugly. So our Lord has to weed, the purgative stage. Things have to be taken out. Desires that don't belong there. Disordered tendencies that don't belong there. Of my thinking, of my wanting. It has to be weeded. As we go into the offertory, say, Lord, here are my weeds. Oh, don't take them out. Really, do you have to? Oh, that one too. Oh my gosh. Do it. Give it. Say, Lord, I give you permission to take those things out, to reorder what is disordered, to discipline what is wild and untamed in my heart. Just give me the grace to stay with you and collaborate with your efforts, and I know that the rest will take place as you want it. Amen?
Amen.
St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us.